We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
They're not going to get in as a wild card because the Metropolitan's got so many more points. So the only way that they're going to get in is if they do try to get closer to the Maple Leafs or leapfrog Florida. I think that Jason's probably got a couple of decisions to be made by the end of the week. I think Connor Sherry and Michael Frolik, who supposed to come over and be one of those guys to give you the last push, that hasn't worked. It hasn't happened with Frolik. So he is certainly an asset at this point of the year that could be on the move again for the Sabres.
That was John Shannon, NHL insider. He was on with us yesterday talking rumors as we get to the NHL trade deadline, which is Monday. We'll get to your calls, 803-0550, to join us on this Wednesday morning, 888-550-2550.
How about reaction on Greg Olsen signing with the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, it's too bad. I would like to have seen the Bills get him. I think it would have helped their tight end group. I think it would have helped their offense overall. If it was me, I would have figured, yeah, Seattle would have a good shot because they've got the best chance to win compared to the other two teams.
Would you have offered him as much as Seattle, more as Seattle, or just say, eh, that's fine, $7 million?
No, I think that was a good offer.
Okay.
I mean, that's I think that's fair. If I don't know what the Bills offered him, but a one-year deal, $7 million, $5.5 guaranteed, I think it's a very fair offer. I mean, I really wouldn't have gone – I would like to have added him. I wouldn't have gone crazy and gotten to a bidding war over him, but I thought it would have been a nice piece for the offense. And I was thinking, I don't think – you know, I'm wondering if they're going to look in free agency for a tight end since I feel like this was, they knew Greg Olsen and this might've been like a one shot deal. Like, hey, Kroft's okay. Oh, Greg Olsen. We like him. Let's try and get, like, I don't think they're going after the free agent market. I don't think they're going to spend big money on Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper if they hit the market. The other guys out there are guys like Eric Ebron, who's had one good year in his career. I saw today, Jason Witten, I think said he still wants to play. Tyler Eifert, I believe, is going to be a free agent, but, you know, he's had injury issues in Cincinnati. I feel like Olsen might have been like a specific one-time, you know, we're okay with Dawson Knox, we're okay with Tommy Sweeney. My guess is Lee Smith is back as blocking back and Tyler Kroft, but Olsen was like a special scenario where they're like, okay, let's make a play for this guy. I don't think they're going to go into the free agent market for a tight end. What do you think?
I'm okay with it. Yeah. I if they had signed him, fine. They didn't. Okay.
Yeah. I think it would have been a nice upgrade over Kroft for 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. Upgrade over Kroft, but, you know, Knox is interesting. Knox gets a little bit of attention,
sure. Yeah.
Not just from Buffalo fans, but from fantasy football guys and national guys. Like, I think he kind of popped a little bit last year and willing to see a little bit more, and Olsen might have taken his target share away. I know it's not about Knox, about, you know, how many wins they can get, but I'm okay with it. I wasn't bullish on the idea of Olsen, so the fact that he went somewhere else, it's good by me.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about Knox and target shares because I thought, I'll do my Ralph Kruger impression here. It's about the team, and I think Olsen would have made Josh Allen a better quarterback, would have helped the team. Olsen could certainly, I'm sure, teach Dawson Knox some really important things about being a successful NFL tight end. I like Knox's development. I don't think necessarily, like some people are looking at it going, don't sign Greg Olsen because of what you just said. You're going to slow the development of Dawson Knox. I'm very happy with what I saw from him last year. Clearly, one thing he's got to fix is his drops, you know, his catch percentage and his consistency with his hands. But he showed a lot of ability to be the number one tight end going forward. For me, it would have been, like I said, a one-year deal. You throw in Olsen, Knox still can play. Now you've got two really good tight end options. Not one, and I don't know. Kroft, I don't know. Sweeney, I don't know. It would have been two really good tight end options if you added Greg Olsen to the mix. And again, he decided to go to Seattle, which I think makes perfect sense for him. He's got a shot at a championship. He thinks he's got a better chance contending there than he did in Washington for sure, and probably here too. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We'll get to Sean in Lockport next. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I had a question. I know that Sabres were talking trades with possibly Florida for Trocheck. A nice trade for Buffalo would be, would you give up a number one for Spencer Knight? and send him and send Trocheck this way? And would you give up Ristolainen and a Borgen or something like that? And Colorado's got a bunch of goaltenders from what I'm seeing on like TSN and stuff like that. What do you think of that plan?
Well, I mean, they could pursue.
I would take Trocheck, yeah. That fills my gap at center.
And I'm not going to be upset if they pursue goaltending help or an upgrade, but I'm not considering trading any number one picks for a goaltender.
But I think his was number one for Trocheck as part of a Trocheck deal, right?
I thought he was saying a first.
Oh, I wouldn't
give a first
goalie
for Trocheck. I mean, the Sabres first might win the lottery. If you're going to lottery protect it, I'd be happy about it. I also would do it at the start of the season. If I'm giving up a first, especially like this year, I want that first to work for me. And, you know, just renting whatever you're renting at this point. Or I guess it depends. It always depends.
I'd take
but
Trocheck.
But definitely not for a goaltender.
Trocheck's got term, right? And I think that helps you out big time at center. Because I just don't see, look around the organization, and the best answer right now is Cousins coming to camp next year and earning a spot and at that young age doing what Mittelstadt wasn't able to do, and that is flourish in the role of the center behind Jack Eichel. That's, I think, as good a season as he's having, Cousins. As many great things as we hear about him with Lethbridge, with the World Juniors, you know, Brayton talks about him on the show, he's having a great year. I think that's still a big projection to say he comes in and just locks down that second center spot next year.
So yesterday, one of the stories to come out was that the Pegulas are not considering a president of hockey operations above Jason Botra, which is not a surprise to me. Maybe it is to you. No.
Nope. I don't really need one. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I would
do. Well, I want to ask you this. Did you see all of the shots of his reactions last night?
You know, it's
night?
Funny. I wasn't paying. I saw people were tweeting about that, and I wasn't paying close enough attention.
So Botra was at the game and was demonstrably upset several times. I mean, they gave up a bunch of goals. They gave up seven.
Yes, they did.
And it was a frustrating game. So he has reason to be upset, of course. I guess the question is that I have for you and for anybody out there that wants to chew on this, is there anything to read into that other than he cares? I mean, I have no doubt that he cares and they'd be upset about where they are. But is there anything to that? Some GMs are stone-faced, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if Botrel last night they gave up all those goals and he's just stone-faced, maybe people make fun of him for that. Maybe people are mocking him for being so upset. Like, what, are you surprised? I guess, do you get anything out of a GM that is so visibly frustrated by last night's game?
No. I guess, but I'll play along here with a couple of ideas. I guess you'd be, if you want to read into his reaction, it would be, boy, he's so angry he's coming to work today and making trades. And I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, I don't think that's true. Because he would have been angry plenty of times this year and not made many trades.
Or the second point could be, and he hasn't made any trades to this point because they made a little run here and he knew last night, hey, we could get within six of Toronto. And he looked at this and thought, crap, Toronto's losing. We're losing to Ottawa. We would have been six out and he's still holding out hope to keep the team together and make a run for third place in the division. And that's why he was really upset. I said I wasn't. I'm trying to play along. But no, I don't.
You
just
think he's mad about the game?
Yeah, I think he's mad because they lost the game.
Yeah.
And he probably did see the out-of-town scoreboard and saw that Toronto was getting beat by Pittsburgh. The Sabres game started, what, an hour later after that game? So he probably, and Montreal blew a lead and lost to Detroit. It's entirely possible he thought, we're going to beat Ottawa. Oh, Toronto's losing. That's six. Okay, now maybe we can make a little run here. And they lost to the Senators for the third time this season. So I'm guessing he was really upset that they lost to Ottawa. And 2-0 lead, got off to a good start. Everything fell apart after that. Carter Hutton isn't making any saves. They're playing like crap in front of him. They're giving up shorthanded goals. They're giving up power play goals to a bad power play. And my guess is all of that made him a very unhappy general manager last night.
This is where the best question for Botrel, Mike Schoep asked this a couple weeks back, and Botrel kind of didn't answer it, is what did you expect this year? Did you expect them to be better
mm-hmm.
this year? Your team to be better this year? And he just dismissed the question and talked about something else. But that's, to me, the most interesting question for the GM. Did you think this team was going to be better than this? And by that I mean, you know, competing for a playoff spot, but really competing where, you know, you're not going to say, wow, 8 points in February. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
You know, they're still not completely dead. They need to go about 16, 3-1
16-4-2 or something like that.
Yeah. Right. It's been a long shot for a long time. Since October, there was a stat about that. Since October, they are 28th in the league. October, they had a good month. Wow. And from November to today,
which is a fairly large sample
it's
size.
It's a big they're right. 28th.
Right.
It's a lot like last year, where you had a good...
Yeah, but the stretch, right, it was later in November, right, when they had that winning streak, mid to late November?
28th in points from November on. So, you know, does the GM think, we're going to find our way eventually? Kruger said last week, for the first time since Sweden, we feel like we've got four lines.
Yeah, I thought about that comment last night watching the game, when they got off to that 2-0 start, and they were looking good, and I thought, do Kruger... / Botrell think, okay, finally these guys are getting it. They understand what like Kruger wants. Then they're playing the system and they're gelling and to come together. And I'm thinking, boy, I hope they're not thinking that, because there's a large sample size here that says, I didn't realize it was 28th since late October. That's not good. I expected better than that. I mean, I didn't expect playoffs, but I expected this team to be in the race, legitimately in the race, not 8 points out at this point, legitimately in the race for the season. So I expected better than this. And... he didn't answer the question. I know that. I would assume they expected better than this too. I would guess Botrell thought the same thing. Like they would be able to hang in at the very least, maybe the wild card race, but be in the playoff race through March, like all the way into April at the end of the season. My guess is that was, I wouldn't say the goal, because the goal is to make the playoffs, of course, from the organization standpoint. But if you got them in a private moment and said, realistically, what do you think this team can do? My guess is he would have said, we should be contending for a spot all season long. And that pretty much ended, I don't know, somewhere in January, maybe officially coming out of the bye week in the All-Star game.
Texter writes in, the most interesting thing I learned from the game broadcast is that Mel Gibson has no table manners. That's from Jeff in Lewiston. Mel Gibson was at the game.
Oh, that's who they were showing. I saw a couple guys in the stands, and I couldn't figure out who the heck they were showing. I wasn't paying attention.
A big, bearded Mel Gibson sitting next to the Senators owner, Eugene Melnick.
Boy, yeah, I didn't realize it was him.
He had a Buffalo hat on. It's a Patagonia hat with a Buffalo on it.
So he was rooting for the Sabres.
I don't know. It's kind of a strange choice. Well, you're going to see Ottawa as a guest of the owner.
Maybe that's like a famous type of hat in Ottawa that they wear.
No, it's just a Patagonia. Okay. I mean, I have this same hat, except in a different color.
Yeah.
A little bit strange to wear that.
Why was Mel Gibson at a Senators game sitting with Eugene Melnick?
That's a great question.
Are they friends?
He had a beard that was Santa Claus worthy.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So is he in disguise? Is he scouting movie locations? What the heck is he doing at a Senators game? Is Mel Gibson a big hockey fan? Do we know that?
Possibly.
Hmm. Okay. No idea.
Sitting in the owner's box.
I mean, he's not Canadian.
No? He's Australian, right?
No, he was born in the United States.
Oh, was he?
Peekskill, New York.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Down by New York area.
Just north of New York City.
Yeah.
Peekskill.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know why I thought he was Australian. How old is Mel Gibson?
Accent. He's got like an
he
accent,
is
doesn't he?
64.
That was a trivia question.
Oh, jeez, come on.
But yes, he is 64.
Do you know everybody's birthdays?
No.
You're on a roll today.
You got Darlene and you got Mel Gibson
It's because I have his Wikipedia page up right now.
How old's Jeremy?
40.
That's right. When's my birthday?
June 27th.
27, 28th, 28th.
25.
Nuts.
Close.
Now I feel bad.
We had the right month.
Jot that down.
Hey, we had the month. We had a 1-12 shot and we hit it. You got to give us credit for that.
I'm impressed.
Do you think they need a president of hockey operations here? Another layer to oversee Botrell?
Does that guy make trades?
Well, that's why, to me, the president of hockey operations always boils down to this. If you're bringing that guy in, I'm guessing you're doing that because you don't think your GM is doing a good job and you need somebody else to help him out. Well, if that's the case, just make the president of hockey operations the general manager and get rid of the general manager. Right? Wouldn't his job be, if Botrell's working on a deal, in theory, he'd run it by the president of hockey operations and the Pegulas to see what's going on, and the Pegulas turn to the president of hockey ops and go, hey there, Jeremy White, president of hockey ops, what do you think about this trade Jason's working on? And you tell them, no, I wouldn't do it. And they squash the deal. Or yeah, let him go ahead and make this deal. Like, you'd be basically checking all of the GM's work.
Right.
Because the owner doesn't trust the GM to make the right decision. So fire the GM. I don't need another layer of management.
Bottrell has one more year on his contract. He got a 4-year deal. That's what Darren Dreger said on one of those roundtables a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Was he's got next year on his contract, too. So
is there such a thing as a lame duck GM I got to worry about?
I mean.
Okay. Because it is a big offseason for them.
Well, you know, I heard Bulldog and Nate Geary yesterday talking about this, about the idea that, you know, would Bottrell make a move for himself rather than the franchise? And, you know, I just, so often, I think we talk about buyers and sellers and, you know, making a move for right now. One of the reasons they can't make a move for a rental forward is because they're not good enough to. You know, it's not even that's risky to do. Tampa trades a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're good.
Oh, Pittsburgh and always. Well, Pittsburgh, you heard the stat about all the first-round picks they've traded over the years.
They've picked twice in the first round in the last 8 years.
And they keep winning. And they should. They approach it that way because they know they can keep winning.
Ultimately, you earn the right to trade away assets for rental players by being good, and the Sabres can't even get to that level. So,
They used to do that.
They used to, right. And first-round picks have been given up less and less, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just thinking about, am I nervous he's going to make a move for himself? Well, any GM that does that to have a better team. And if that means making the playoffs, you know, it's probably too late for that this year. But if you would have said to me in the offseason that he traded a first-round pick for a forward he thought would get them to the playoffs and it worked, I would have been in for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against giving up decent assets to actually have a good hockey team. If you trade Ristolainen for Nikolaj Ehlers, which is a deal that was rumored to have been, whatever, maybe on the table, maybe discussed. If you had done that and traded a first for another forward, and you have a team that's in eighth place, I'm not upset today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe we're talking about a team that goes to the playoffs, and maybe that helps you add more free agents or make more trades. You know, as you approach the deadline and talk about, well, Buffalo's on this person's no trade list. You know, some of those lists are due to, I don't want to live where it's cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, hockey players don't often do that. But I don't want to live in a small town. I don't want to go to Buffalo. A lot of that, it's just like, to me, it strikes me like the Antonio Brown not wanting to come to the Bills thing. I don't want to hear that it's about the city. It's about your track record. Why would Buffalo be on a no-trade list? Because they're terrible.
Right.
And they have been for a long time.
It's an organizational decision you're making.
If this team were as good as the Bruins has been the last 6 years, right, I bet they're on way fewer no-trade lists.
Who was the guy that was just traded and it came out that the Sabres were on his no-trade list? Brayton.
It was...
We were talking about him the other day.
Minnesota trade. It was Zucker.
Jason Zucker. And I'm like, I'm not surprised.
Right.
Why would Jason Zucker want to come to Buffalo? It's been one of the worst organizations with, what, Arizona and Edmonton in the last 10 years.
You've got the longest playoff drought in the league.
Yeah. So why would you come here? It's not a thing about the fan base or the location or the weather. The guy played in Minnesota. It's cold in Minnesota. It's about they don't win there. They don't make the playoffs there. Why would I want to go there?
Mel Gibson filming a movie.
Oh, okay.
I mean, obviously. But okay. A number of texters want to point that out.
He was in Ottawa because
that's why
filming.
He's in Ottawa, filming a movie.
Thank you.
You ever been to Ottawa?
Yes, kind of. Only to a game. I didn't see the city. You?
Yeah.
Nice? Skate on the canal?
No, but it wasn't cold enough. But I saw the canal.
Okay.
Very nice.
Because that always looks cool. I don't know if they didn't. Did they do a bum shot last night? That's a standard. You know, when the NFL comes here, we always see Niagara Falls and chicken wings. And I feel like when the teams play in Ottawa, they show people skating on the canal downtown. It looks pretty cool. Looks like a neat city.
Yeah.
But I've never been downtown. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. You can share your thoughts on the Sabres. You can share your thoughts on, whether or not you're expecting Jason Bottrell to make a trade or trades by Monday's deadline. There were a flurry of deals yesterday involving defensemen moving for picks in the league. Greg Olson signs with Seattle, and you can share your thoughts on whether or not you think the Bills should still address a tight end in free agency. If there's anything else you want to get to, that's fine. 803-0550 to join us or 888-550-2550. It is Wednesday, so tweet us today for a chance to win a gift certificate to Jim's Steakout. We do this as part of Hoagie Hump Day. Here's all you need to do. Tweet at WGR550. When you do, use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. And anybody who does that, you're in the running. We'll have one lucky listener get a $25 gift certificate for Jim's Steakout. Again, tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Olsen picks up the loose change. Back to the line. Ristolainen with a shot. Scores! Montour off the pass from Ristolainen has his second of the period. 2-0. Montour in across the line. Larson holds it. Gets it to the front of the net. Kotopuzo scores! The veteran drives the net. And the Sabres get back to within one. Back up top, Dahlin. Here comes Olofsson's one-timer, scores! Victor Olofsson with another rocket to get the Sabres back within one, and yet another power play goal for the rookie.
Are we okay calling it Victor Olofsson's office? Or is that like Ovechkin's office or Stamkos's office, and you can't have another office?
It's well, they're on opposite sides of the ice, so sure.
But it's the same concept.
This is all of... this
all is Victor all okay, y'all, let you work that one out.
No,
that's where he scores, and he did it again last night, and the Sabres scored 4, but they gave up 7. Those are some of our first moments of the game. Sorry, spoiler alert if you didn't see the game last night. The first moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments of your life, go forth to Firth. Oposo scored for his second straight game. Sabres scored twice. Brandon Montour in the first 10 minutes, and then Ottawa scored 4 times, about 3.5 minutes there and a stretch in the first period, and went on to the 7-4 victory. We'll get you the 3 stars of the game from last night. Brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Jean-Gabriel Pageau, who might be traded by Monday. Artem Anisimov, and somehow Craig Anderson gave up 4 goals on 27 shots, and they gave him a 3rd star. So there you go with that. The Sabres play at Pittsburgh Saturday afternoon. Toronto lost last night, so did Montreal. So the Sabres would have gone past Montreal point-wise and would have been 6 points away from Toronto, but that didn't happen because they lost to Ottawa. Trades yesterday. Marco Scandella sent by Montreal to St. Louis for a 2020 second-round pick. Brendan Dillon to Washington from San Jose, also a 2020 second-rounder. And Ottawa sent all these are defensemen for picks. Dylan DeMello to Winnipeg for a 3rd-rounder this year. Vegas, according to TSN's Bob McKenzie, working on a deal for Kings defenseman Alec Martinez, who I believe the Kings held out of the lineup in last night's game for, quote, precautionary reasons. Free agent tight end Greg Olsen agrees to a 1-year deal with Seattle. Drew Brees will be back with New Orleans for the coming season. John Beilein didn't make it through a season with the Cavs. He stepped down as their head coach. UB men beat Ball State last night, 72-59. And good news on Ryan Newman. He was awake yesterday in the hospital, talking with family, talking with doctors after that nasty, fiery crash at the Daytona 500 on Sunday. Those are your headlines brought to you by Energy Mark, your trusted local energy supplier. And a reminder, the UB women's basketball team is home tonight, 7 o'clock game against Akron. For tickets, you can call 877-UB-THERE. 803-0550 to join us. I got some better to forget it for you. I have lots of football. There is no offseason with the National Football League, so we include it in better to forget it. Which, by the way, is brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. Okay, we'll start with a Bills issue, and we discussed this a little bit on yesterday's show. Better to forget it, the Bills will franchise tag Jordan Phillips, which would be around $15, $16 million. We're waiting for this year's numbers.
Let me give you a little context on that. NFL.com has a story about franchise tags, predicting who gets franchise tagged this year.
Yeah.
It is a rundown of these guys will, these guys should, these guys probably won't. The Bills don't even make the article.
I would think you'd at least bring up a discussion point and say, no, you shouldn't do that.
Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, does not no projected tag. He doesn't even project.
That's funny.
No projected tag
for saw
any Bills player.
Well, first off, you'd think they have so much cap space, and Phillips is coming off a 9.5 sack season, that it would lead to at least a discussion about who would tag. I actually saw, maybe it was the Barnwell piece where he suggested franchise. Remember, you can use both the franchise and transition this year. He suggested franchising Phillips and transitioning Shaq Lawson.
Yeah. Well, this is both franchise tags and transition tags, I believe, in this article. Yeah. No-brainer candidates. He lists, you know, Dak Prescott and...
Is Ngakoue in there?
Yannick Ngakoue is a no-brainer.
Okay.
There's the no-brainer, there's the say yes, and there's the unlikely to be tagged, no projected tag, and I found it stunning.
That's odd.
Not a single... Like, the Bills are in the league, man.
Who are the no-brainers?
The no-brainers is on franchise tags.
Austin Hooper or Hunter Henry in there
it
at all?
It is Dak Prescott, yep. Ryan Tannehill, Chris Jones, Justin Simmons, Shaq Barrett, A.J. Green, and Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay.
And then the say yeses are Bud Dupree, Hunter Henry, Matthew Judon, Anthony Costanzo of the Colts, Jameis Winston, transition tag.
Okay.
Amari Cooper should get the transition, he says. Derrick Henry, the transition tag. Brian Bulaga, James Bradbury.
Well, I wonder what the transition tag was for receivers last year, because if they franchise Dak Prescott and transition Amari Cooper, that's eating up some pretty good cap space for one-year contracts. You know, you got to be able to sign Dak Prescott long-term, right? I mean, did you see, by the way, who was it? Oh, I wish I could remember. I saw something yesterday, and it speculated that Teddy Bridgewater on the open market could get $30 million a year.
Okay.
$30 million for Teddy Bridgewater? Okay, two things then. What is Dak Prescott getting from Dallas? We're starting at 40, I assume.
Maybe.
What does Josh Allen get in a couple years if he's good?
More than 40?
Wow.
If he's good.
$30 million
yeah.
For a guy who, you know, he was 5-0, I get it, but man, that is a lot of money.
I mean, Garoppolo got 27 for 7 starts.
Yeah. All right. I just didn't think the numbers would go that high for Bridgewater. Let's see. What else? Bills lost out on Greg Olsen. Better to forget it. They will pursue a tight end in free agency.
Sure.
I'll throw some names at you. Let me know if you're interested in anybody. Not the big name guys. Let's see. Eric Ebron, Tyler Eifert, Jason Witten, Darren Fells, Mercedes Lewis, I think would be the best of the group after your big name guys, Hooper and Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Throw a dart.
Throw a dart. Let's see. Oh, over-unders. I don't think we did this before, so let's do this. Over-unders out from sportsbetting.ag. The Bills over-under was set at 8.5. What would you bet?
I wouldn't bet.
You have no choice. You have to bet.
No,
the segment is
forget it.
I'm not giving you the forget it option. I'm saying which one would you bet, the over or the under?
Neither. I would not bet it. We haven't even had the draft or free agency.
Says the guy who makes me pick the Bills.
Well, if they had signed Greg Olsen, you would have had to, so you're welcome.
Even though we haven't had the draft and free agency.
Hmm?
So how does it work for you not to have to bet when you don't know the roster, but I have to pick the Bills?
It's just the rules. That's how it works.
I got to talk to a lawyer.
The people. This is what the people want.
I am getting screwed out of this big time. You know, the largest over-under, by the way, in the AFC is Kansas City, 11.5. First off, do you agree that they will have the most wins in the AFC next season? Would you better forget that?
Yeah, probably.
You're betting that?
Sure.
Over 11.5? I assume you're going to go like a 12-4 with them?
I mean, are the Raiders getting Brady?
Are the Chargers getting
Bridgewater?
Right.
It's tough.
And the Raiders over and under, you might want to do this just for you-know-whats and giggles. I mean, the Raiders over and under is 7. Maybe they get Brady, you bet the over-under, whatever. You're going to go over 7, that's for sure.
Maybe.
Let's see. So you're going to go, yes, Kansas City. Let's see. Tyrod Taylor. He will be the starting quarterback for the Chargers next season. Bet it or forget it.
I mean, it's a good bet now. So, yeah, he's the leader in the clubhouse, right?
So says the head coach, Anthony Lynn.
Who would know Tyrod?
Yep.
Their time here. And, of course, their time together there.
So we'll bet Tyrod starting for the Chargers. Antonio Brown is on his apology tour. Better to forget it. He'll be back in the league next season.
I would bet. Ooh, next season?
Next season.
I bet he's not played his final down.
Okay. So he'll be back at some point. They still have not. I don't believe they have finished the investigation from the NFL. So there still could be some kind of, you know, violation of the personal conduct policy suspension coming down there. But you think he'll play again at some point?
I do.
Okay. Joe Burrow. You see the growing speculation about Joe Burrow and whether or not he would not want to play for the Cincinnati Bengals?
He says he has leverage.
That was his quote. I do have leverage. So, better to forget it. Joe Burrow will go the Eli Manning route.
I would not bet that. He's from Ohio.
He is. From Athens, Ohio. Now, granted, that is the eastern end of the state. Bengals are in the western. No, I'm just... He is from Ohio.
I'm looking at a map of Ohio to see where Athens is.
Athens is in the southeastern portion of the state near the West Virginia border.
That's close to, I mean,
Cincinnati's in the western side of the
southwest.
State. Closer to Indiana, southwest. It's southeast, southwest.
Okay. I was going to say, Ohio's got a, comes to a point at the bottom. I didn't realize there was a southwest and a point, point-ish, right?
Does it have a point at the bottom? Where it hits Kentucky?
A little bit.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah. Now I'm looking at it. You're right. Yeah, southwest versus southeast Ohio.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's a thing.
I mean, that's close enough to...
I'm not sure that that's a thing.
Right.
Like, you have a totally different attitude if you live in... Well, southeastern Ohioans, they really look down their noses at southwestern Ohioans.
Right.
I don't really know if that's a thing. I'm just guessing here. So, anyway...
It is strange, though, because, like, the money is set.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Argue about offset language? We have one of those coming again?
Was it Carson Palmer? Somebody said the other day, like, came out and said, yeah, that's just not a good organization to play for. Like,
I mean,
if you could pull an Eli Manning here and get out of Cincinnati, that'd be a good idea.
They are one of those.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be surprised.
Okay. So we're going forget it with that one?
Yeah, I think he'll play for the Bengals.
And lastly, we kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I did some research. BetOnline.ag has a line on a couple of things involving the Astros. They've set an over-under on how many times an Astros player is hit by a pitch this season. The over-under is set at 80.5. For perspective on this, the modern era record for most hit by pitches of a team in one season was Cleveland in 2008 with 103.
They were jerks.
And they were not coming off a scandal, yes.
No, 2003?
2008, sorry. 103 in 2008.
I'm looking at their roster. Who was it? They went 81-81, that Indians team.
Why were they getting hit? I guess they like to crowd the plate. Would you bet the over or under on the Astros, 80.5? Knowing that the commissioner
has said you'll be suspended.
Is saying you're going to be suspended if you throw at the Astros.
I guess that's the under.
It's going to be a great baseball season. So you see the story. So the Astros, I don't think they're playing games yet, right? Maybe they had like a full squad workout or some kind of scrimmage. And somebody shows up with a garbage can. Somebody in the stands is banging a garbage can while the Astros are working out. This is going to be great. What team is going to be the first one to have mini garbage can
trash
night
can
when
night.
The Astros are in town? Mini, not real. A little mini can with the mini bats, and then you bang the can.
It's a good idea.
It's marketing gold. And the other one is over-under charging mound set at 1.5.
Over.
Yeah, right? I think they could break that in the first month of the season. This is going to be great. Better to forget it. Brought to you by Seneca Poker. Inside the Seneca, Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only.
Have you ever driven across country, across the U.S.?
No. No, 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 no. I haven't even... Boy, what's the furthest I've driven? No. The furthest I've actually driven would be like drive time is Buffalo to New York. 8 hours.
That's the most?
Furthest distance might be East Lansing. 300 miles going west.
Yeah.
Through
longest
Canada.
I've ever driven or
I'm not a fan of driving.
Does a bus count?
Yeah, okay.
A road
I'll give
trip.
You that. I'll give you that.
When we went to Carolina is probably the farthest I've ever driven. Carolina Game 5.
Oh, you know what?
The WGR bus.
Sure. We drove to Columbus. That's technically longer than East Lansing, I believe. So
5 hours?
Would be, yeah, I think. It's close. Okay. But that's it. I mean, we're talking Ohio or Michigan. That's not very far. Brayton, you got one?
Furthest place I've driven to is Delaware.
Not far.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not super far, but I mean, it's far enough. And not only that, but once you cross the border into Delaware, there's nothing much really going
nothing
on in that
there,
state.
Huh?
No.
The reason I ask
I drove
is,
to Baltimore once. I don't know if that's further or not.
Last week, Molly and I, we were in Colorado, and by the time we were about to leave, I wanted to drive home. I had the urge.
Just to see the country?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've never driven across country. I've thought... For a long time, I want to fly to the West Coast and drive back or do a big, huge loop. My parents did that before I was born. They did a big cross-country trip for about a month. And I don't know why, but it just kind of appealed to me, the idea of driving back from Denver, driving through the Great Plains, even though it's supposed to be like really boring because it's pretty flat.
I don't know
there's
what's
not much
out
going
there, right?
on.
I'm guessing
but
like,
driving through Kansas City and St. Louis. And
Well, you could stop in small towns
yeah,
and stuff. Everything,
exactly.
Right?
It's something I do want to do. And I'm not sure when that'll ultimately happen. But
well, as long as you brought this up, I was going to mention this, but I was going to wait a few years. When I get to retirement, we're going to need your motorhome.
Okay, it's not a motorhome though.
Well, but it's a hitch, right? I mean, I'll need that with your truck if you don't mind, because I don't want like a huge giant camper, but my wife would like to basically drive the country, and I need some transportation. So if I could use yours, that'd be great.
You wouldn't want this one.
I don't want like the big giant motorhome though.
You do want one that you could drive and sleep at the same time.
I feel like I'd be intimidated driving something that large.
Well, it doesn't have to be the size of a band's tour bus. You just get one of the ones. Okay. Got websites where that way. You can drive, she can sleep, she can sleep.
No, she's going to do the driving.
All right, sleeping. Well, then you could sleep while the drive is going on, or you could be...
I'm about 5 hours in a car is my max, but she loves driving. She drove once from Buffalo to, like, Dallas, and then she had to go do some work down there, and she drove back from Texas. I can't do that. I mean, I got to get out of a car after a few hours.
Nate and Tonawanda, one day, Denver to Grand Rapids, there's nothing there.
Oh, my. Wow.
Grand Rapids, Michigan, I would imagine?
I assume, yes.
Yeah, I believe it. And a texter asks, never driven to Florida. No, have never driven to Florida. I've been there several times. But
it's too long
to
drive.
I've never driven.
Yeah. What is like 20-something hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too long.
I've never done a drive that has been maybe like 12 hours North Carolina.
Okay.
From like the Outer Banks. That's like 12, 13, I think.
Get me on a plane.
Well, Howard, you could easily just go the route that a lot of people in hinterlands do. You get your pickup truck, and then you get the mobile home that goes into the bed of your pickup truck, and then you just go cross-country that
way. Okay, that'll do. That'll work for a long drive. Okay.
Another texter.
I'm sure it'll work.
Drove from Buffalo to Phoenix and flew home.
Oh, my Lord.
Totally worth it. Yeah, see, I would only want to go one way because it's a lot of driving.
You've seen it.
But I think there's a different route. Especially if you're going east to west.
Yeah.
Because the change in the landscape.
Wouldn't you want
to
drive all the way to California?
Sure.
Not like Phoenix. You'd want to go, I think you'd want to go all the way to the other coast.
Yeah. Because if you drive from here to Denver, I mean, the mountains show up and it's impressive. And you might think, well, I want to drive through those for sure.
I wonder, could you drive like through the middle of the country to get to California, but then change it? Go north. Come back.
Yeah.
Skirt the border somehow, go up to Washington and really come back through the northern half of the country.
I'm
not sure how much you'd see in Idaho, Montana, and all these other places.
If you like driving, I mean, I've driven from Los Angeles to Las Vegas.
That's not a bad drive, right?
No, it's like 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
And Vegas to Phoenix. And those are both incredible, like stunning drive. If you like to drive.
It's pretty out there.
There's a lot.
We drove through Arizona. We went from Phoenix to, where the heck was it? Maybe Utah? Somewhere in Utah. It's really pretty. The mountaintops, the red rock, the landscape, it's really, really. Snow-capped mountains, it's gorgeous out there.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550.
How's Kansas, though? I mean,
it's probably flat.
That's what I was thinking about.
Kansas. A lot of flat land, I would guess. Let's give away some tickets for the snowcross races going on Friday and Saturday down in Salamanca at the Seneca Allegheny Resort Casino. You can try and win a pair of tickets right now. It's the Amsoil Championship Snowcross Races. 644-9878 is our contest number. Call right now. We'll give you the pair of tickets to caller number 5. Again, 644-9878, caller number 5, pair of tickets for the races. That's Friday and Saturday in Salamanca. The minimum value of the prize is $50. General contest rules apply. If you'd like to go but you don't win tickets, you can purchase tickets. You can also find out more information about this weekend's event by going to snowcross.com. Drop the W. So S-N-O, snowcross.com. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. I forgot to mention this in the headlines. We should probably get this out there. There's a report out of Boston from NBC Sports Boston that the Patriots will begin contract talks with Tom Brady in a couple of weeks. Just so you know.
Coward.
Who? Brady? Oh, yeah. For not leaving?
I'm just going to say that every time. If he returns, he's a coward.
He's afraid to leave, right? Let's get to Jason in Lancaster. Jason, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about the possibility of driving cross country. I drove from Los Angeles to here twice in the last 6 months, and both times I took a different route. You can take, and they both take the same amount of time. So there's one where you can cut up through Utah and Colorado.
Ooh, that'd be pretty.
I don't suggest taking in the wintertime because the hill's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But then you can also cut through like northern Arizona and northern New Mexico through Oklahoma and the panhandle of Texas. That's a pretty awesome drive as well.
Yeah, I think, like, to me, I would guess the Utah-Colorado drive is very scenic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very snowy also.
Yeah, right. So that's a good point. Yeah, when we did, when we drove through Arizona and Utah, it would have been, I was like, mid to late March. We really didn't encounter any weather problems. It was very pretty.
Yeah, it was beautiful last week when there's snow on the mountains and that's the Rockies.
You know what? It's funny. Like, so we were, you know, like, Joanne's driving and I'm trying to take, like, cell phone video and pictures and all that, and you just... You can't get enough of the snow-capped mountains and the reflections in, like, lakes. And then, you know, just a ton of beautiful red rock. Not like just like a Sedona, Arizona thing, but, I mean, all through that region as you drive around Utah, it really is gorgeous, and it's mesmerizing. So, by the way, don't do this solo and look at all this stuff while you're driving, because it can really be mesmerizing. It's
sometimes
great.
A solo drive is good.
Yeah, but I don't want you to stare away from the highway and look at the mountains and all the rock formations and everything. Got to keep your eyes on the highway there.
Have a text here from a listener who's listening in Sacramento. Buffalo to Sacramento in about 2 days. Moved quickly because we brought a dog and a cat. I'd rather drive than wait for layovers somehow, like flying with layovers.
Yeah.
And it's funny he mentions that. Like, one of the strange things, one of the reasons I started thinking about wanting to drive back from Denver on Sunday was that our flight was in the afternoon. And if I wake up and my flight isn't until 3 o'clock,
yeah.
I get antsy and I think, maybe I'll just drive.
Yeah.
Even though you get home a day later.
Right.
My feeling is I don't want to wait to leave. I'm ready. Let's get in the car. Let's see the country. Let's just keep the rental car and drive home from Denver. We didn't, which is probably a smarter move.
Yeah.
But again, like that I do like driving to a degree. You know, you drive around here, the thruway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's boring.
It's kind of rough.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
And even though the plains, the idea of driving across the plains is boring for many, anytime I'm driving someplace I haven't yet seen. So but if I'm driving through Nebraska,
uh-huh.
Every sign to me is interesting.
But you wonder, though, if you've ever flown across country and... You know, there's no cloud cover. You look down.
The flyover states.
You look at Nebraska and Kansas, you're like... What the heck is down there? I mean, it is really, it looks like there's nothing, just flat land, and it doesn't appear to be anything. But as you said, like, I've never done that either. It would still be, there would still be a newness and something to it driving through these states. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. No Ralph Krueger today. He's normally with us Wednesday morning at 8. He's going to be on tomorrow. So a programming note there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.